Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Tzadi Hei. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 7 lines from the top of Daf Tzadi Hei. Gozal Pora Meuberes Violda. The Mishnah described someone who stole a pregnant animal and then it gave birth. And here we're going to elaborate on that topic. We have a Tanaic source in which there will be 3 Tanaic opinions. As far as the first part of today's shiur, the focus will be on Rebbe Meir, who's the first of the 3 opinions. The opinions of Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Shimon will be focused upon on Omid Beis. So we first read the source, Tonu Rabbonam, Hagozel Rochel Vigazaza Vyolda Mishalem Oisa Vieski Zoselves Velodosel Divre Rebbe Meir. A person stole a sheep, and it's fairly apparent from Rashi that we're dealing with a sheep that was laden with wool, a pregnant sheep, and it then, after the thief stole it, sheared it, or it gave birth. If you were dealing with a pregnant sheep, the ruling of Rebbe Meir is that the thief must give back the sheep, the shorn wool, or the lamb that was born, so that the thief is giving back everything, the animal and all the improvements. Rebbe Yehuda Oimer. Now, we're going to, as we mentioned before, we'll read Rebbe Yehuda and bear in mind that the focus will be on Omid Beis. That's why we have the next 3 lines in brackets to indicate that point. Rebbe Yehuda Oimer, Gizela Chizeres Be'inei, the animal is returned as it is. Be'inei means as it is. You'll ask, but it was full of wool when it was stolen. How is it that you're returning it now shorn? So a payment will be made. Rashi indicates this, that a payment of the value of the wool of the wool on a sheep that hasn't been shorn, or the value of a fetus within an animal before it has given born, that added value will then be paid in addition to the return of the animal as it is right now. Rabbi Shimon Oimer, Royan Oisa Kiilu Hi Shumo Etzlo Bekesef. Rabbi Shimon says we look at its value as it was at the time of theft. I'm sure everyone is wondering that, well, isn't that the same as basically what Rabbi Yehuda said? And as we said, that question will be dealt with Mirtz Hashem on Omid Beis. Now, as we go on in the Gemara, we have some markings. You see the bow tie here. And if you go further down on the page, you'll notice another one. On the side of the Gemara, we also take note of the fact that there are Roman numerals 1 and 2. Those Roman numerals are on the side of our page under the Nosei / Mivneh heading. Nosei, the topic, and Mivneh, structural note. Here we combine them into one. Are Shnei Lishonos, 2 versions, B'havonas Shitas Rebbe Meir. With regard to understanding Rabbi Meir, Shagazel Rochel Vigazazah, Mishalim Oiso Vigizesel. Rabbi Meir said that one who stole a sheep and sheared it pays it and its shearings. The bow tie is placed here to highlight She'elois Levar Taime the Rabbi Meir. Questions to clarify. What is Rebbe Meir's approach? there's a Roman numeral number one presents the dilemma of the Gemara. Knas is the payment of Rebbe Meir, where the thief has to give back the everything, namely the animal plus the born sheep, or the animal plus the shorn wool. Is that a function of a knas? In other words, it's not letter of the law. It's a fine that the halacha imposes on the offender. Or is it shinui b'mkaymai oimed? The fact that a change has taken place is irrelevant. We've seen this discussed extensively in our previous shiurim, that shinui, the change, is not responsible for any change in status. So that though a change was experienced, it's all as if it took place in the domain of the owner. And hence, you know, everything has to be returned as it is. All, even though the sum total of that which is being returned is worth more than it was at the time of the theft, that doesn't make a difference. Shinui b'mkom omeid, the fact that it underwent change is as if it remained in its original status, original place, original location by the owner. So now, first we continue with the Gemara and its question. The additional markings we'll deal with shortly. Ibayalaho, my taimei de Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir's ruling that everything is returned, lock, stock, and barrel. Is it mishum de kosava shinu b'mkoyma imeit? Is it because he holds that change in the item, physical change in the item, doesn't make a difference, doesn't change the status or the domain of the animal? Physically, of course, it's in the domain of the thief, but halachically speaking, it's viewed as if it's in the domain of the original owner. So return it, everything as it is, even though, as we said, it's worth more. Oy dilma, be'almo shinui kaina. In general, we would say that shinui does make a difference, will change the status, and that after the item undergoes shinui, the return that's necessary would be a cash value of the original item. V'hacha knosahu dekakonis, and here we're imposing a fine so as to avoid a situation where a sinner profits. If the thief would be able to get away with paying the value of the item at the time of theft, well, then he's profiting that difference in value, that balance, that added value in the item that he has that he stole and now experienced that improvement. Lamai nafgamina, what difference is there in terms of this analysis, whether it's a function of a knas or a function of shinui b'mkom omeid? Lahecha dekochasha mikhash, where the stolen item depreciated. It literally became weakened, less decreased in value. So that's also a case of a change, but it's now a change for the worse. Let's look at Rashi. Across from here, the nafka mina lehecha delo hishbicha. The difference in the analysis is where it did not increase in value, ela kochasha, but rather decreased. Decreased not just in market value, but a physical change that is responsible for that depreciation. If the analysis is because change makes no difference, in the case that the animal decreased in value, depreciated, it's returned as it is. Because change doesn't make a difference, it's still considered in the domain of the owner. V'taimo mishum knasu v'shinui kani. If the reason for Rebbe Meir and the mission of returning everything as it is with all of its improvements is a function of knas, where we say in principle change does acquire, mishalem kidemei kora, then in the case of depreciation, so shinui kani, the thief is then said to be the formal owner of it now, and restitution is in terms of what its original value was at the time of theft, a greater amount than its current value. So, once again, what is Rebbe Meir's What is the basis of Rabbi Meir's ruling that everything is returned lock, stock, and barrel, even though a change has taken place, a change with improvement? The house shape that you see one here, and another one a number of lines later, are explained on the side. Nisyonis lahavi raya, the Rabbi Meir sover shinui kene. We're going to try to demonstrate that according to Rabbi Meir, change does acquire. And as we said then if shinui is kene, then the ruling in our Mishnah of everything being returned, even though shinui has taken place, that's a function of knas. And on the downside, since shinui is kene, the thief would have to return, if it depreciated, would have to return the original value. Now the Gemara. Toshma, gozal behemo v'hizkina. He stole an animal and it aged. Hizkina, for our purposes, means it became weakened. Avodim v'hizkinu, stole slaves and they also became weakened. Mishalim kishas hagzela. Payment is made in terms of the original value at the time of theft. Rabbi Meir Omer ba'avodim oimer lo hare shel cholofanach. When it comes to slaves, you can say, take it as it is. We're going to come back to the issue of the slaves later. The triangle that you see is to highlight the two versions of Rabbi Meir with regard to slaves. So here Rabbi Meir says that with regard to slaves, he says, take it as it is. V'ilu behema kishasak zela. However, when it comes to the animal that became weakened, there you don't say just take it back as it is, but you pay the value of it at the time of theft. The isalka daitoch, the sover Rabbi Meir, shinui b'mkoyma oimeid, if you were to think that Rabbi Meir holds that shinui doesn't represent any change in status, but it remains as it was, where it was originally, then afilu behema nami, then even in the case of behema, let the thief be able to say, take it back as it is in its now depreciated state. Elolav, rather, it must then be shema mino, we shall conclude, kosova Rabbi Meir, shinui kainev, that shinui does acquire. And that's why in the case of the depressed behema, he can't say just take it back as it is. V'hocha, in the case of the animal that he has to pay everything that he took with all of the improvements, knosa hu de kokonis. It's a function of a knas. Because by letter of the law, since improvement has taken place and change has taken place, the thief should have acquired everything and just paid the value of an animal that's laden with wool that hasn't been shorn yet, or a mere pregnant animal. But here you're returning everything. The Gemara rejects this. Amri, Rabbi Meir, l'divrayam d'rabbonan ko'amar lahu. In this Tanaic source, Rabbi Meir is not sharing his own opinion. He's responding to the Rabbonan. L'didi shinui ein kene. As far as I am concerned, when it comes to change, it doesn't change the status of the stolen item. It remains in the domain of the original owner in legal terms. Ve'afilu behemo nami, and even in the case of the stolen animal that became weakened, he can say, Hare shel cholof anecha. Elo l'ditchu damrisu shinui kene, but according to you, who hold that shinui does make a difference, odu li mihas ba'avda, at least in the case of the slave, agree with me, de mekarkoi domi, the slave is viewed as land, karka as real estate as land, Vikarka eno nigzelis, and land is something that does not fall under the category of items that can be stolen. Karka nigzelis, literally, land is not something subject to theft. And since that's the case with regard to land, and that which is compared to it, i.e., the slaves, slaves are compared to land in many places in the Shas. Based on a pasuk describing the slaves as achuzah, as land that's inherited. And therefore, Rabbi Meir says to the Chachamim, in the depreciated slave, he should simply say, the thief should be able to say, Harei she'al chalafanecha. The Amri lay Rabbonon, and the Rabbonon respond to Rabbi Meir, lo, not so, avdo, kimetaltali, domi. Avodim, slaves are viewed as portables, and therefore, since we hold that Shinu is Kaine, he has to pay Kishas HaGzela, he has to pay their value, meaning the slaves that have become depreciated, their value as they were at the time of theft. That's when you see Kishas HaGzela, that's a reflection of an opinion that holds Shinui Kaina as far as this particular point is concerned. So we don't see anything definitive right now about Shitas Rebbe Meir. So therefore, Toshma, we try again. Here someone is hired, he's a worker that's hired to dye wool, and the owner of the wool gives a specific instruction. Litzboa lo adom. Hired, you're hired to dye it red. Litzavoy shachar. And he didn't do what he was asked to do, rather he dyed it black. Or the other way around. Shachar vitzavoy adom. He was hired to dye it black, and he dyed it red. Rabbi Meir, Oimer, noise loy de mei tzimro. The worker keeps the improved wool and pays the owner the value of raw, of undyed wool. Rashi says a few lines up from here, Deme Tzimro, Kid Deme Korah's value as it was at the time it was originally given to him. Vafabi Deme Hashta Shovi Tve La Tzrichim Tzemer Odom. Even though right now it's worth more for those that want red wool. Now we continue in the Gemara, Demei Tzimro In. What the hired hand does is he pays for the value of the undyed wool, but Demei Tzimro Shvachalo, but wool with the improved value, and as Rashi indicated, it's worth more now for the community of people that want red wool. That, though, the worker does not, the hired man doesn't pay that increased amount. If you were to think that Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that Shinui does not acquire, then the worker should pay the value of the wool, and the value of improved wool is what should have been paid. We see from here, Rabbi Meir holds that through change, you acquire. In this case, the worker acquired the dyed wool, and all he pays is the value of the original item that he was given, the undyed wool. So in general, Rabbi Meir will tell you that Shinui is Kine. The Hochop, in the case of the Gazlon that we had it with the sheep, that gave birth, or that was shorn, and Rabbi Meir seems to indicate otherwise, that's only because knosahu de gakonis, it's a function of a knas, a fine that Rabbi Meir imposes, as we said, shalei hechoite niskar. In the case of the worker, there was no chote, there was no sin involved. The worker was reckless, he didn't listen carefully to the owner's instructions, but that's not what we would call a sin. Iko di Amri. And now we have a different version of the above issue. Ha lo ibayalon. The issue of Rabbi Meir's opinion is not a question. In other words, Rabbi Meir's opinion is very clear, and we'll see very shortly that Shinu is Kaina, and the reason Rabbi Meir says everything has to be returned is because of the Knas. There's no doubt in this Lashon, in this version, there's no doubt. Let's take a look, by the way, and at the side of the Gemara, where we have our introductory notes, I hope you see where there's a Roman numeral number 2 in the margin, under the after the triangle that noted the highlighting of Avodim, the Roman numeral 2 introduction says, the Fi Lishna Shmi, according to the second version, Borur, it's clear, Shurimer Seber Shimi Kaine, that change does acquire. The Chiva Tashuv Shmechayev Rabbi Meir, requirement of Rabbi Meir in the mission of paying back everything, Mishum Knas, it's a matter of Knas, Hashelahi. The question that is raised is Rak b'mezid konas. Does Rabbi Meir impose the knas only when something is done deliberately, or gam b'shogeg konas, or even where things take place unintentionally? Now let's turn back to the Gemara. We said that as far as Rabbi Meir's position on shinui kainer, not kainer, that's not a question. Haloi bayalon, that's not something that we ask about. Mida apich Rav vitoni, from the way that Rav presents the source and teaches it. Apich means he switches it around, he reverses it. And here we have what we saw above in a Tanaic source. You notice where that triangle, which highlighted Avodim, is? Notice this source. Gozal, Pora, Vihizkino. Avodim, Vihizkinu. Man stole an animal or slaves, and they depreciated. They became weakened. Mishalem, Kishas, Hagzelo, Divrei, Rebbe Meir. The reason for the triangle, I hope, is now clear. Because in the first Lashon, we saw Rabbi Meir saying regarding the Avodim, Harei Shel Cholof Anecha, and in this version, Avodim are taught along with the animal, and the thief has to pay Mishalim Kishas Hagzela, their value at the time of the theft. There's no Harei Shel Cholof Anecha, Divrei Rabbi Meir, with regard to slaves and Rabbi Meir's opinion. V'chachomim omrim, v'avodim oimer lo harei shelcha lefanecha. The chachomim say that with regard to slaves, there the thief can say, simply take the slave back as it is. So since Rabbi Meir presents the cow theft and the slave theft together, and payment, where they depreciate, payment is made in accordance with their original value. Vaday le Rabbi Meir shinui kaina. It's clear that Rabbi Meir holds that the change, in this case the depreciation of quality, acquires on behalf of the slave, on behalf of the thief, and therefore the thief pays the original value. The Hacha, in our Mishnah, where we spoke about, in the Tanaic source above, where we saw Rabbi Meir holding that the pregnant animal that was stolen, or the laden with wool sheep that was stolen, the thief has to return everything, the lamb that was born, the shorn wool, knosa hu deka kones lei. Here it's a function of a knas, a fine. Even though shinui kaina, he cannot benefit from that in the case where there was this great improvement. Ki komi ba'alon, when a question is raised, when you want to ask something, hachi ibayalon. The following is the way to present the question. This bow tie was introduced before. These are, as we see, these are questions that are here to clarify the opinion of Rabbi Meir. So here we want to know, Rabbi Meir, when he imposes knas, does he impose it when things were done deliberately, or even when things were done unintentionally? The new marking, this volcano or trapezoid shape that you see here, by the way, we have a long marking. You'll notice that it appears in alternating directions on Omid Beis. At the upper part of Omid Beis, you'll see it's flipped over. So on the side of the Gemara, we indicate that the two directions are Havuas Rayas L'Shnei Atzdodim, proofs to both sides. So let's go with the first one. Toshma, Chamisha Goyvin Min Hamachurorin. I want to point out before we could read the entire source, there is a lot of information in the next four lines in, within the frame of this Tanaic source. We want to focus only on the second example, what's dashed underlined, Shavach Peros. That will be explained in the Gemara itself. So, as far as our Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shir is concerned, we want to focus on the information that's pertinent to our sugya and not get sidetracked with all of the details here. Mirtz Hashem, as you learn through all of Shas, you'll see the different points discussed in their respective locations. So here we have the source that says, Chamisha Goyven Min HaMechuron. There are five examples of those that when they come to collect, they come to receive their reparations or their restitution. They collect from Mechuron, from the word Chorin or B'nei Chorin, means properties that are in the possession of the individual being collected from, and not from properties that that individual that owes the money not from properties that he has sold to others. Those are called mishubadim. So there are five examples of those coming to collect only from the individual himself and not from properties that he sold. The Elohim, peros ushvach peros. The Hamakabel Olav Lozun Ben Ishto Bas Ishto, the Get Chov Shein Bo Achrayas, Uksubas Isho Shein Bo Achrayas. What is meant by Peros? That's discussed in Maseches Bava Metzia. Shvach Peros will be our sugi, our focus will be on that. We'll see what that is later in a few, momentarily in the Gemara. The third case involves someone that married a woman that had already had children, either a son or a daughter, and in marrying her, he, this second husband, accepted upon himself to the support of that child, of the woman he's married. So the monies owed to that child are collected, if need be, from his own properties and not from properties that he has, that he sold. Get chov is a shtar chov, a document, she'ein bo achrayas. If a person, let us say, conducted a sale, and in the title, in the deed or the contract, within the contract there was no written guarantee that if anything should happen, the seller will make good on it. That's a get chov. The word get, don't be confused. But the word get can often refers to a shtar, not just a divorce document. So a get chov is a shtar chov, where no guarantee was written in. And a ksubas isha, the financial guarantee that a woman receives upon marriage, also she got a ksuba, the document of financial guarantee, but no guarantee was written in that the husband would make good on it if he doesn't have property, that the woman would be able to collect from properties that he has sold, or if it's a function of the case of a ksuba paid when there's a divorce, or a ksuba paid when she becomes a widow. Nevertheless, the emphasis for our point, for our discussion now, is we pointed out on the case of what Shvach Peros, and also there's no authorship here. Who's the author of this source? Man Shamis Lei de Omar Achrayas Lav Toi Sefer Hu. Who is the Tanaic opinion that says that a document that you ordinarily would expect to see a guarantee written in the event that it's not there, we say that its absence is deliberate. And it, lav tois sefer means the absence of the achrayas is not a mistake. It's not a mere mistake of the scribe who was preparing the document. But achrayas, guarantee, this is a slightly abbreviated expression, but it means the guarantee that you expect to see there and is not there is not a mistake. It was left out deliberately. Who holds that? That is the opinion of Rebbe Meir. That's a, we'll just say for right now, that's a given. And Vikotani, and it says in this source, Peros Ushvach Peros. That collection of Shvach Peros is from Mechuroren, from owned properties. Shvach Peros Hefidomi. What is meant by Shvach Peros? Kegon, Shigozal Soda Mechaveroi. A thief stole a parcel of land. Umochro Liacher, and then he sold the land to someone else. Vishbicha, and the purchaser improved the land. Varehi Yotze Mitachas Yodoi, the owner, the original owner, comes and takes the land from the purchaser, takes the land with the improvements that were made in the land. Kishu Goive, when the purchaser seeks reparation, he's going to seek reparation from the thief. You know, I paid you money, and now everything that I bought goes back to the original owner. So when he, the purchaser, comes for to seek reparation, Goiva, he collects from the Goslin, who, we have to add here, Rashi adds this point, the Goslin who sold him the land with a guarantee. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. Goiva Sakeren Minachos Mishubadim. The purchaser collects from the thief the principal value, even from properties that the thief may have sold after this particular sale. Those are in the Chosim Mishubadim. If the thief has no means of paying back, so the purchaser can seek collection from subsequent sales that Goslin made to others. V'yes ha-shevach minechosim b'nei churin. If you remember in the Tanaic source where we dashed underline Shvach Peros, the Shvach Peros is collected only from Mechuror, not from subsequent purchasers. That's what we mean here, that the Shevach is collected minechosim b'nei churin. D'yoso ba'al aro v'shokil la'aro u'shvacha. The original owner has come, and when he comes to collect, he collects the land with the improvements. He's collecting from the purchaser everything. The purchaser, as we said, he seeks out his restitution the way we said already, but the original owner comes and collects the land with the improvements. My lav be'amoretz. Are we not speaking about an ignoramus, namely the purchaser? He's an ignoramus. The lo yoda de karka nigzelis or ainen nigzelis. He's not familiar with the concept of land, whether it's something that can be stolen or not stolen. He thought that the land that's stolen and then sold, something I would be able to keep. He bought the land, thinking that he'll be able to keep it. He's not aware of the halachic, classification of land, as we mentioned earlier, that it's ainon igzelis. So he's ignorant. He bought the stolen property, unaware of this detail in law. And even so, the original owner of the land, the original victim, he can collect the land with the improvements. And we see from here that the knas that is imposed in the case of thefts includes even cases where there is lack of intention, a lack of awareness. So what was our original question? Rabbi Meir, who says that everything is returned, lock, stock, and barrel. Is it done? Is his fine imposition, even under shogeg circumstances, we see from here? Yes. The Gemara now rejects that. Amri lo, v'loikeach Talmud Chacham v'yoda. The purchaser here was a Talmud Chacham. He's a person that means he's aware of the fine points in halacha, and he knows that karka eino nigzelis, that land is not something that can be stolen, and hence even if there's an attempt to transfer its its domain, its ownership, it's ineffective. It remains in the possession of the original owner at all times. So, you knew that, and you bought the stolen property anyway. So you lose everything. In the case of Shogeg, so we don't know. It's not conclusive. All we can say about this is that if you're dealing with a lokeach tamil chacham, he will lose everything. If you want to infer, but in the case of the amoritz, that would not be the case. So be it. But as far as something conclusive, we don't see something conclusive from this Tanaic source that spoke about shvach peros having to be returned to the original owner. Toshma, you notice the inverted volcano shape. We indicated before that here we're going to then try to decide the issue in the opposite direction. The first attempt was to show that even under Shogeg circumstances, there is the fine is imposed. Here we're going to try to show not so. Do you notice, by the way, that we dashed underline Shmamina b'shogeg nami konis, and then we rejected that. Scan ahead just a few lines. You'll notice also a dash underlining where it says Shmamina b'mezid konis b'shogeg lo konis. So you can see that there the conclusion is that the knas is imposed only on a mezid level. So let's see now the Gemara. Toshma, we saw this source before. You hired a worker, litzvoya loy adaim. You hired someone to dye your wool red, and he changed. The tzavoy shachar, he dyed it black. This is an example of shogeg. He didn't deliberately change from your instructions. He made a mistake, or you hired him shachar v'tzavoy adaim. Hired him to dye it black, and he dyed it red. Rabbi Meir, Oymer, Noisein Lo, Demet Simro. All the worker has to pay back is the original value of the wool. Demet Simro in, the value of the wool, yes. Demet Simro Shvacha Lo, but the value of the wool with its improvement, meaning returning everything, that no, he doesn't have to pay that. V'isalka Daituch B'Shoigig Nami Konis, if you were to think that Rabbi Meir is Kones, makes a knas, even b'shogeg, then demei tzimra u'shvacho boi l'meisav lei, then the worker should pay back the value of the wool and its, namely the value of the improved wool. Yet he doesn't require that. Elo lav shma mino b'meizid kones b'shogeg lo kones shma mino. Therefore, we conclusively understand that Rabbi Meir's payment scale of including the shevach is only when only when the circumstances were such that it was done intentionally, not something done by mistake or unintentional. As we mentioned quite a bit earlier, the Tanaic source that had three opinions in it, we were focusing up till this point only on Rabbi Meir. Here we turn our attention to the second two opinions, to the opinions 2 and 3 in that original source. The arrow that you see here to the side of the Gemara text is designed to draw your attention back to where you originally saw these names. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Gezela Choseres Be'enei, the stolen item, the sheep that was stolen with laden with wool, now subsequently been shorn, the sheep is returned as it is, and an additional cash payment is made to account for the value, the increased value of a sheep with wool on it. Rabbi Shimon, Oymer Royin, Oysekilu Hishumo Etzlo Bekesef, and Rabbi Shimon says we evaluate how much was the sheep worth at the time of the theft. In other words, a sheep laden with wool, or a sheep in a state of pregnancy. So at this point, the issue is, as we introduced earlier, they seem to be saying the same thing. The original owner is going to be getting back the value of that which he had at the time of theft. My binayu, what's the difference between these two Tanaic opinions? The diamond that you see now is explained on the side under our Nosei Mivneh heading. These are Shtei Deos Bamoroyim, two Amoraic opinions, Lahasbir Ahevdel Bain, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, to explain the difference between the Tanoim, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So now, Omar Rav Zvid, in the Gemara you see Rav Zvid with a diamond, B'Shevach She'al Gabi Gzeila Komiflagi. How do we deal with improvements that increased value that's on the stolen item? Rashi on the top of the narrow, first of the narrow lines, B'Shevach She'al Gabi Gzeila, Kegon Shishbicha Etzlo V'Adayin Lo Not Lahimeno, Kegon Shigozla Reikonis V'Nisabroi To Negiza. He imagine a person stole an animal that was Reikonis, literally empty, and it became pregnant in the possession of the thief. Or Tuna Giza means, it appears to mean that he stole an animal that that became full of wool. In other words, when he stole it, there was little, it was maybe freshly shorn, and now in the possession of the thief, the wool grew, but it's still on the back of the animal. So there's improvement in these examples, but it's still it's still upon al gabi gzeila, it's still on the item that was stolen. So Rav Zvid says that's komiflagi. That would be their point. The Tanoim would be arguing over this. Rabbi Yehuda Sovar the Nigzal Have. Rabbi Yehuda would represent the opinion that when he said in the source Chizeres Beinei, it's returned as it is. That means it's returned as it is, whether there's improvement, whether there's depreciation, as it is at the time of the. It's returned as it is at the time that the owner seeks justice in court. It's true. Rashi adds that if there would be decrease in value, so then the thief would have to compensate for that. So Rabbi Yehuda says it's returned with the improvement on its back as it is. Rabbi Shimon Savar de Gazlon Hafe, and Rabbi Shimon would take the opinion that the improvement that the animal has experienced, that has still on its back, that the thief is able to keep, and the thief in that case would simply pay a cash payment reflecting the value at the time of the theft. There is a rather elaborate Rashi on this section of Gemara where he reviews all three opinions, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon. So let's look at the Rashi together. The Rabbi Yehuda Savar de Nigzal Havi Vahochi Komar Rabbi Yehuda. And thusly, Rabbi Yehuda was saying, Gezeilo Chizeres Beinei, the stolen item is returned as it is Lebaleo, to its original owner, Bein Leshevach, Bein Legriusa, whether there is improvement, whether there is depreciation, Kamoshihi, Beshastvia, Bebezdin, He Chozeres. As it is at the time of the seeking of justice, the claim made in court, where the owner claims from the thief the item in court, it is returned as it is. Vehecha degora, where there was depreciation, kagon gozaza, fiyolda, where the animal that had been stolen was gave birth in the domain of the thief, or he sheared the wool. Mishalem pichasa vadai dehoder kotovale nigzal deme gziza v'ubar shegaza mimenu. In such a case, decreased value will be paid by the thief to the owner. Upliga de Rabbi Meir. This approach of Rabbi Yehuda is at odds with Rabbi Meir. The Omar kule shvacha yoyev le all the improvements are returned. Even though, technically speaking, the thief acquired the shearings and the lamb that was born because of shinui, because of the change, the shearing, the birth. Chazino lekemanda kule shuach hakati Allah kamishalo nixza. We view all of this improvement as if it's still on the animal, as if it wasn't shorn, or as if it didn't give birth. Umashalim kula mishum knosa. Everything is returned according to Rabbi Meir because of knas that we saw earlier. The Karmale Rabbi Yehuda kediisa hashtahadra. Rabbi Yehuda, in response to Rabbi Meir, says it's returned as it is right now. Ve'i hoder tova nami mine gizo vlad. And if the owner seeks compensation for the wool, or for the issue of the vlad, the child, the thing, the animal, the issue of birth, yoyev le domi deme korab, the thief will pay the original value, that difference, namely the animal's original, the difference between the animal's original value and the animal itself, the current value of the animal itself. As far as the shearings and the lamb, the konagiz of lad bishinu, the thief acquired the wool and the lamb through the change. And here, this is really the main point as far as Rebbe Yehuda is concerned, where the improvements are still on the animal. Choseres kamoshi, it's returned as it is, where the animal didn't give birth, where the animal was not shorn. And here's where we see now the difference between Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Shimon. Rebbe Shimon comes along and says, afilu shvach aleo. Even if those improvements are still on the animal, it hasn't given birth yet, it hasn't been shorn yet, note lo gazlon, the thief is entitled to benefit from that. The shinui kine, change acquires. The lo yishalem, and now in this context, change, we'd have to say that if he stole an animal that did not have wool on it and it became woolly, he stole an animal that was not pregnant and became impregnated, though the changes, I should say, even though these changes are still on the animal itself, a change has taken place. And therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, the original value is what would be paid. We're looking it in terms of a financial evaluation. Rabbi Yehuda, just to repeat, Rabbi Yehuda, in a case like that, where the improvements are still on the animal, the animal is returned with its improvements to the original owner. So now let's turn back to the Gemara. That was the analysis courtesy of Rav Zvid. We continue with our next diamond. Rav Papa Omar Dekule Almo Shevach Shalgabi Gzela De Gazlan Havi. Rav Papa says, everyone will agree, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree, that improvements that are still on the animal, the thief is entitled to benefit from that. And the expression of Rabbi Yehuda in the Tanaic source, where it said, Gezela Chizeres Be'inei, it's returned as it is, that means as it is, or as it was at the time of theft. That's what's returned. So then, if Rabbi Shimon agrees with that idea, so what's the difference between them? Their point of disagreement is regards we'll say, percentages. Literally, these words, mechza means half, shlish means a third, revia means a quarter. Percentages. Rabbi Yehuda Sovar, Shevach Shagabi Gzela, the improvement that is still upon the animal, Kule de Gazlan Havei, the thief keeps it all. He's entitled to that in its entirety. And therefore, if an animal that was not pregnant had been stolen, the thief will return the value of an unimpregnated a barren animal. Rabbi Shimon Savar lemechsa l'shishu revia hu deshakil gazlan. According to Rabbi Shimon, the gazlan doesn't benefit from all the entire value of that improvement. He is entitled to, depending on the community practice, when someone is given an animal, let us say, to impregnate, or he's given an animal to care for during the time it grows wool. There's a certain percentage that those people receive. It could be half the value of the increased value. It could be a third. They share and get a third of the 33%, or 25%. That is what the gazlan will be able to keep, give a benefit. So that, according to Rabbi Shimon, you would return the animal, but the with all of its improvements, but the original owner will have to compensate the thief, if you will, to the tune of mechsa, shlish, or revia. We have a long question. We're going to quote from our Mishnah. Tanan, gozal, man stole pora, v'nisabra etzlo. We saw this in our Mishnah on Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis. He stole a cow, and then in the possession of the thief, it became pregnant and gave birth. Rachel, he stole a sheep, v'nitana etzlo, v'gozazov. Grew wool, and the thief, and then there was a shearing. Mishalim kishas hagzela. Payment is made as to the in accordance with the value at the time of the theft. Yolda in this calculation of mishalim kishas hagzela, according to our Mishnah, if you read the Mishnah literally and then draw an inference, the Mishnah is telling us that when is the payment made kishas hagzela? Only if the animal actually gave birth. Lo yolda hadrabeno, if it hasn't given birth yet. So an animal stole non-pregnant animal. It became pregnant, but didn't give birth yet. It's returned as it is. So here we have a Mishnah. There's no name as far as Tanoim are concerned. Who's the author of the Mishnah? Bishlamo l'Rav Zvid. According to Rav Zvid's analysis, the Omar Shevach Shal Gabi Gzela, the Nigzal Have, Le Rebbe Yehuda, improvements that are still on the animal belong to the original owner, according to Rebbe Yehuda. That was Rav Zvid's presentation of Rebbe Yehuda. Ha Moni, the Mishnah with its inference, is whom? Who's the author? Rebbe Yehuda He. This would be the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda. Just to make things a little easier, look just two lines ago, we dashed underline Lo Yolda Hadrabeno, if it hasn't given birth yet, even though we're describing a situation where there was improvement, increase in value in the domain of the thief, everything goes back. That is Rebbe Yehuda according to Rav Zvid. Elo l'Rav Papa Diomar de Gazlan Have, according to Rav Papa, that said that when the improvement is still on the animal, everyone agrees it's the gazlan's, it's the thief's whole money. The source, our Mishnah with its inference, is in accordance with whom? Lo Rebbe Yehuda v'lo Rebbe Shimon. It doesn't work out according to either Rebbe Yehuda or Rebbe Shimon as far as Rav Papa is concerned. Omar loch Rav Papa. Rav Papa will answer. Hu hadin afilu lo yolda nami kishas hagzelu demishalim. The Mishnah that we read is not to be read with the inference. The Mishnah says you're going to pay kishas hagzela, certainly if it gave birth, and even if it didn't give birth, where the shevach is still on the animal. V'ha dikotani yolda, the Mishnah gave as its example Yolda, where the stolen animal gave birth. Aidi denosiv resha yolda. In the first part of the Mishnah, the case, the example was a pregnant cow was stolen. And then the Yolda. The Mishnah said there, the payment will be made as in accordance with the value of a pregnant animal. So in the Reisha, the case of Yolda had to be taught so as to describe the situation of a pregnant animal was stolen, then gave birth in the domain of the thief. The thief has to pay the value of a pregnant cow. So since in the Reisha the Yolda had to be taught, Nosiv Seifa Nami Yolda. The Seifa, the continuation of the Mishnah, the section that we quoted above, also used the example of Yolda, or we'll say just for the sake of Tanaic style, to create a certain sense of balance or continuity in the Mishnah, but in the Seifa it's not there for inference purposes. And therefore, as far as Rav Popla is concerned, even if it didn't give birth, the payment will be made kishas hagzela. Tanyo kavosei de Rav Popla. Now we have a brisa that supports Rav Popla. Rabbi Shimon Oimer, Royan oisoi kiilu hishumo etzlo bekesef lemechsa lishlish uruvia. If you recall, that was Rav Papa's presentation of Rabbi Shimon, that in effect the Gazlan is able to benefit from the improvement that's still on the animal, and a financial agreement is reached regarding the percentages that the Gazlan is entitled to. So we have a Tanaic source supporting Rav Papa that when it comes to Shevach that's still on the animal, according to Rabbi Shimon as well as Rabbi Yehuda, the thief is entitled to some benefit, either all the benefit according to Rabbi Yehuda, or a percentage of the benefit according to Rabbi Shimon. As you can see, we have a slash mark that indicates that which follows is it's a new trend of thought. Even though we will be making reference to information we just saw, but it's, as I say, a new trend of thought. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading. Le Rebbe Shimon, de Hagazlan Rashoi Lekabel Achuzim Bashevach. According to Rebbe Shimon, that the thief is entitled to percentages in terms of the improvement that took place in his domain. Eich mitbatzea tashlum. How is the payment to be made? We mentioned that, according to Rabbi Shimon, the improved animal will be returned to the owner. However, the Gazlan is entitled to share in that improvement. Is it bedomi, cash, shemishalmin lo kesef, that the owner pays the thief cash? Oi, shemikabel chilek mehabosar, b'mikre shapora yishbiach etzlo. Or, let us say a thief stole an animal, a cow, and it increased in size. There's more meat. It was a smaller animal, it grew, and increased in volume. The animal is returned. Is the payment in terms of a portion of meat that he is given? Let's now turn to the Gemara. Omar Ravashi, ki avinon be Ravkana, ibayalon. Ravashi says that when he and his friends, his colleagues, were studying in the yeshiva of Ravkana, ibayalon, the following question arose, what was bothering us. According to Rabbi Shimon, that said that the Gazlan is entitled to a percentage in the increased value. When we come to pay the thief his portion in the improvements, do we pay him in terms of cash so that the original owner takes the entire item and gives a cash payment to the thief, or maybe the thief gets a portion of the meat of that very animal that he helped improve. Upashatno meho di omer of Nachman amar Shmuel. And we resolved the issue from that which Rav Nachman says in the name of Shmuel. Shloisha, there are three. Tosis points out that the number three is not exact. We'll mention three examples, but we're going to add Gazlon to this understanding, which, in my opinion, it's like the main point is not in the words of the Gemara. But Shmuel, when he presented his case, or he presented his din, he wasn't focusing on the case of a thief. But the three is not exclusive of thief. That's a point that Tosfos makes. And he points out that the list is actually an incomplete list. And when you have an incomplete list, two or more examples would have to have been left out. And Tosfos explains how there are additional examples that are left out of this list. So with that in mind, Shmuel says, Shloisha shomin lohem ha-shevach, umalin oison bedomim. There are examples of those that a calculation or an evaluation, an assessment of the shevach is made, and they are paid in cash. V'yeluhen, b'chor l'poshut, b'alchoiv l'lokeach, u'balchoiv l'yosoimim. These are three examples that are worthy of a discussion, each one in and of itself. But for our purposes, these are people that are going to be receiving an item that was improved, and there was also and they have to compensate the one from whom they received the item. They compensate the individual in terms of cash. A bechor is a person that receives an inheritance along with other brothers. He's the firstborn, so he gets twice as much as any other brother. So if there are two brothers, he'll get 66% of the property, and the other brother will get the 33%, the third. He gets two thirds, and the firstborn gets two thirds, and the regular brother gets one third. If after the father's death their improvements had been experienced in the land, those improvements are not part of the father's estate. Those are improvements that took place later on. So those improvements, the value of those improvements, do not entitle the bechor. The bechor is not entitled to a double portion of that. Ah, but he's going to get. He's going to get 66% of the land and get two-thirds of the land with the improvements. He has to compensate the other brother to the difference, so that the value of the improvements are really split 50-50. Bachov lelokeach, a person to whom money was owed, he lent money. The debtor did not have cash to pay off the debt. He didn't have any land either. So what happened? The Balchov went to a subsequent purchase, subsequent to the time of the original loan. He went to a subsequent purchaser and collected his debt. Now when he collected the land, the land had experienced improvement while in the possession of the lokeach, of the purchaser. So the creditor has to compensate the lokeach for that. And Balchov, Mayasoimim, that's the case of someone who was owed money, a creditor. The debtor died, and the Balchov, the creditor, is now collecting from the heirs. Omar Le Ravina Le Ravashi. Actually, before we go on, so let's just make the main point we want to review is that the Gazlan. Is also someone from whom the item with its improvement is collected, and then the original owner will pay cash to the Gazlan. That's why we dashed underline bedomim. Omer le Ravina le Ravashi, mi Omer Shmuel, balchoiv le lokeach Yoiv Lei Shevach. Here we're asking, I would say it's a basic question on what Shmuel just taught. Is that something that Shmuel would say? That a Baal Chov, a creditor who collects land from a lokeh, from a purchaser, that creditor has to offer any compensation to the purchaser? Is that so? V'omar Shmuel, Baal Chov Goyve Es HaShevach. Shmuel says that a creditor collects the land with its improvements. He doesn't seem to pay the lokeach, the purchaser, anything. Omar le lo kashio. So Rav Ashi says there's no disagree or contradiction within Shmuel. Kan b'shevach ha-magil ha-ksefayim. Kan b'shevach shein magil ha-ksefayim. Literally translated, shevach is improvement that magia that reaches the ksefayim, your shoulders. We're talking about grain growing in the field that the creditor is collecting. If the grains are fully developed, that's called magilik sefayim, their shoulder height. So when the creditor collects the land, he'll pay the purchaser for the value of that mature grain. If, however, he's collecting a parcel of land from the purchaser and the grain is not fully developed, there is what Shmuel said, that the Baal Chov gave us a shevach, he collects the land with the increased value of growing grains that are now growing there, but they're not mature, so he collects everything. Omar Lei, Ravina asks, for Maisei B'chol Yom, but it's a daily occurrence, for Kol Magvi Shmuel Afilu Shevach Amagia L'Ksefayim. The Shmuel entitles the creditor to collect even the mature the field with its mature grains. He collects everything. Omar Lei, Rav Ashi answers, Lo Kashi, there's still no difficulty. We continue at the top of Daf Tzadi Vov. Ha demasik be kashir ara ushvacha. Ha delo masik be ela kashir ara. It all depends on what was the value of the original loan. We have a creditor collecting a debt that was owed to him. If the debt that was owed to him was an amount that the land itself wouldn't cover, but the land plus the mature grains would cover, so then the creditor, he who is collecting his debt from the land, is entitled to collect the land with the mature grains. Then he collects everything. And that's what Demasik Bey, he's coming to collect Kishior, the quantity or the value of the original loan is Ara Ushvacha, corresponds to the land with the mature grains that are growing there. However, if it's Hodolo Masik Beyela Kishiara, if the amount that the creditor is trying to collect corresponds to the land itself, the mature grains represent an amount beyond that, so the creditor is not entitled to that. Then the Baal Chov, the creditor, will pay off the lokeach. He'll pay him off with cash. And that would be what Shmuel said originally, that the Shloishes Shomin Lahem HaShevach, and one of those was the Baal Chov, the lokeach. The creditor was collecting his debt. What he was collecting was land with improvement in it. The creditor didn't need to collect the improvement, but it's still attached to the land. So he collects the land with the improvement and then pays off the purchaser with cash. The Gemara asks, Ravina asks, and notice we have a long question. Omar Lei, Ha Nicha. What we're going to see very shortly, and the question is, there are two opinions with regard to how creditors pay off purchasers. Who calls the shots? Who has the upper hand in demanding how payment is made? If that sounds a little abstract, have no fear. We'll try to make things clear as we go on in the Gemara. Up till now, though, Shmuel is telling us that the creditor will have the luxury of paying off cash to the lokeach. I say luxury because there's another possible way of compensation, and that would be where the purchaser might demand a portion of the land itself. After all, the creditor is collecting land with fully grown grains in it, which is above the amount of the original debt that he, the original loan that he extended, above the value of the original debt. How does the creditor pay off the purchaser? So up till now, the creditor is paying off the purchaser, from whom the creditor is collecting the land with the improvements in it. He's paying him off with cash. Ha nicho lemanda omar, I isle zuzi la lokeach lo motzi mesalik le lebalchoiv shapir. There's an opinion that says that if the purchaser himself happens to have cash, he cannot pay off the Balchov. In other words, the Balchov has the upper hand when it comes to collection. The purchaser cannot misalik. Misalik means literally remove the creditor by offering him the cash alternative. But rather, the creditor comes in with full strength, collects the land as payment of his debt. Shapir means we understand what is happening over here in the case where the creditor is collecting the land with the improvements. The creditor has the upper hand and will pay the purchaser a cash payment and be done with it. Elalamanda Omar, there's another opinion when it comes to creditors collecting debts from land. And this other opinion says, he isle zuzi lelokeach, when the purchaser from whom the land is being collected, if that purchaser happened to have cash, motzi misalik le lebalchov, he has the upper hand, and he can tell the balchov, listen, you're not touching the land I bought. Take this cash value. This is what you're trying to collect your debt from from whom I bought the land. Listen, take cash and go home. Be happy with it. According to that opinion, when it comes to debt collection, that the purchaser from whom the land is being collected, he, the purchaser, has the upper hand. He can call the shots, so to speak. Lay ma lay. In our case, let him say to him, that's pronouns, let the purchaser say to the creditor, you're coming to collect land with the grains that are fully developed now. And that is represents an amount more than the value of the loan that you had extended. Why couldn't the purchaser say to the Balchov, I havuli zuzi, had I had cash, have misalkino loch mikule ara, I would have removed your claim from the entire land, meaning I would have paid you the cash and keep all of the land for myself. Hashta, but now I have no cash. But you are indebted to me the extra amount of the grains that are beyond the value of your claim. So you do recognize, says the purchaser to the creditor, you owe me. Hashto havli griva diara shir shvachai. Griva means a small amount. I demand of you to allow me to keep a small amount of the land, an amount of land that corresponds to the improvements, the We said the grown grain there. That's an amount that's beyond the value of the loan that the creditor is collecting. And yet, Shmuel said that the creditor pays off in cash. And just to review, that idea of the creditor paying off in cash, that works only according to the opinion that says creditor has upper hand. But according to opinion that says purchaser can call the shots, and in the event that the purchaser would have cash, he could pay off the creditor in total, leaving the entire land in the purchaser's domain. Why not, in this case, let the purchaser who has a claim, let the purchaser demand a portion of the land? So, is it not so then that Shmuel's ruling is a problem, according to this opinion? Omar Lay. So Rav Ashi answers, Hocha b'mayaskinon. Here, where Shmuel ruled that the Baal Chov, the creditor, pays off with cash. Kagon deshavyo nihalei apotiki. The borrower, the original debtor, had earmarked the land. Apotiki is a form of earmarking as a means of payment, the land. The original borrower said to the creditor, you will get your payment from this land. Diomale, the borrower, the debtor said to the malve, to the lender, when the loan was originally extended, listen, you know, he says, "Lo yehe l'cha piron ela mizeh." This is what an apotiki is, where the loive, the borrower, says, "Lo yehe l'cha piron ela mizeh." You will have no payment for me other than from this. Oh, in a case like that, even if the purchaser happens to have cash, he cannot pay off the creditor in a case like this. The creditor has a much stronger claim to the land than in standard cases. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.